Hello, you're listening to the Talking Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo!
Today's episode is a discussional podcast episode. We talk about the news that seems important to us, dive into our community, answer some quick questions from our community members, and then say goodbye. So how has the last 2 weeks been, Chris?
A little bit better. Catching up on some shows, spending way too much freaking money on Nintendo, and generally just an odd couple weeks.
Man, I think it's the most positive response we've gotten from you in a discussional in a long time. Things are going up.
No, I just had somebody sent us a bit of money, so I just went ahead and blasted it on something that I've been putting off for a very, very freaking long time. I mean, how long have I been whining about money?
Always. Always, Chris. Always. That's right. Give me a few months and I might start doing the same thing.
I now officially own the entire, all of the Atelier's that are available on Steam, or on Switch. I have all of them.
I was about to say, why would you buy it on Steam? Why would you not buy it on your precious Nintendo Switch? So, what, are you excited about the Pro?
Everybody's
talking about the Switch Pro again.
But I have not actually found out anything outside. All I see is rumors upon rumors, and it's just about completely confirmed by at this point, but I want to see the stupid thing. I want to know that it's actually a thing, and then I can start planning for it, because I will buy it. But as it stands right now, I want to know that it's a thing.
Good luck getting it. If it's anything like the launch of the Xbox and the PlayStation, there's going to be a shortage of chips and no availability and scalpers going crazy.
I pretty much am set that I'm going to try to just get the pre-order in as soon as I can. The only thing that I think is going to probably be an issue is that I'm probably going to buy it directly from Nintendo. I do know that they have stuff on their site that is physical stuff, so it's very likely if they offer it, I'm going to go with them.
Yeah, the problem with the waiting for the pre-order is exactly what I wanted to do with the PlayStation, and guess what happened? Everybody threw it up before they said they were going to throw it up, so I heard somebody talking about the PlayStation launch at some point, and they're like, yeah, I just made sure that I was there for the pre-orders, and I'm like, that was a thing. Nobody knew it was supposed to be up, and it was launched early without anybody knowing. It's not like you could prepare.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've given up at this point. I'm just hoping they'll have more PlayStations before that Final Fantasy DLC comes out. Really badly want to play Yuffie.
The thought had crossed my mind to get an old PS4, but it's only mostly because of the whole Blu-ray. I need a Blu-ray player of some sort. I've got a switcher, so I have 5 ports now. That covers my Roku is on the TV, and then my other spot has the switcher, and that has the Switch, my computer, and...
Yeah, thankfully you don't play any Twitch shooters or anything like that, so you don't have to worry about using a Switch.
Yeah, it's been doing what I want it to, which is basically I want to be able to watch my shows and then switch over to either my computer or the DirecTV is going through that thing as well, and because that is one thing that's annoying, is having to switch between the three. I'm never doing any of them at the same time. The closest you could probably say is I might want to mess with the Switch at the same time as something else, but that's pretty rare, and it's usually the Switch and my Roku, because most everything is done through my Roku anyway. So I'm pretty much happy there, because it's not really that big of a deal.
That's always been my thing about buying new TVs now, is like I have to have 4 plugs. Like when I'm looking at specs, it's like, does it have 4 plugs? Okay, it doesn't have 4 plugs. Next TV.
Yeah, that was the main thing, is I was trying to figure out how I would do, because I was looking at a Switch with 4 plugs. I went with the Switch with 5 plugs, because I do know that at some point I'm going to get a Blu-ray player. I need a Blu-ray player. because I can't watch anything that's that we have as far as the stuff. Like, I've all the Arias and my Sailor Moon crystals. I can't watch any of that. My Sound Euphonium.
You can't watch your Sound Euphoniums.
Yeah, I can't watch anything. Or your Ecatomas
when you get them.
I did finally fill up my Switch game card. So I was considering going ahead and buying that along with the Blu-ray player. That's kind of a thing that I'm debating on, because for the first time I'm actually looking at that and I'm like, I don't know if I want another card to flip back and forth. One of the mini cards, because I bought you one and I bought me one. I filled that up with all the Ateliers and all that stuff. I was sitting there juggling things back and forth between system memory and outside memory. And I was like, I literally had to delete, get this, Breath of the Wild had to come off of my system. That irritated me.
When was the last time you played that game?
A while ago, but it was more along the lines of, I actually had to buy that version as well, because you had the physical and I bought the DLC on it. So I had to buy that one. I went ahead and grabbed the, anybody who does not know, the Super Mario 3D World is, or it's not the 3D World, the 3D pack with Sunshine and the other two, 64 and something else. That is going off of their store at the end of this month. Anybody who does not know, if you wanted to buy it, you have to buy it now. So I went ahead and bought that. Like I said, all the Auteliers. Oh, Final Fantasy. They had a sale, which should be done, I think, yesterday. It was over, so you missed out on it. But I went ahead and bought all those on the... Most of them were 50% or lower. That would be Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy VIII. Final Fantasy 12, 10, 10, 2. So yeah, I grabbed all of those. I almost bought Crystal Chronicles and Saga, basically the Final Fantasy Legends from the Game Boy. I almost bought that, but I went ahead and stopped because credit card limits and stuff like that. Which is probably
so. How many of those games are you actually going to play?
I started Rurouna. I was going to say, I was actually blown away. I know that you had mentioned it before, but I was looking at it because I went ahead and clipped through the intro segments of each one of them. And there is like night and day difference between the Arlen series and the Dusk Sea series as far as their intros. It's like night and day. Not downplaying what they did with the Arlen series, because it was cute and fun, but just the quality is like 10 times better. It's amazing, and I'm actually kind of disappointed in the newer series that they're doing when comparing them to the Dusk Sea series. I really want to look at Ryza again. But the Suwali and Lydia was actually kind of lower when compared to the Dusk Sea stuff. I don't know if you remember what I'm talking about, where the really high-end
like the visuals, a lot of production and the presentation.
Yeah, the presentation.
Well, that's like I always say, the Atelier Shelley, that was like easily my favorite intro they've ever done.
Yeah, that thing is, I was just,
every time I watch it, it's like I get goosebumps.
Yeah, Aisha was really amazing, and the other one, the third one in that series was really amazing too. And then, but you put those next to Arland, and they're just basically baby anime, and this is like full on music videos. It's like night and day.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I think some of them like you didn't even have a really good animation to it, so yeah. I still like the art style of all of them though.
Oh yeah.
I think some of them have a lot more of a artistic style to it versus other ones, but they're all good. I still want to play Sophie. I didn't get very far into that one.
Which one was that?
That was the one, I think the other girl was like a homunculus or something like that. I forget. Tell your Sophie.
Yeah, I don't know that I grabbed that one. I didn't see that one on the list.
I think that was the one with the pictures that they went into.
Oh, that's I could be wrong. Chalet.
That might be fair. Was that Chalet?
Yeah.
I don't know. They all mesh at this point. It's been so long since I've played a lot of them. It's like, it's so funny because it's at some point I used to review them on a regular basis. So it was more easier for me to kind of push through the entireties of all of them. But at some point when I stopped reviewing them, I just started kind of dabbling in them for a good like 5 to 10 hours. And then I would stop playing them. They're just kind of one of those games where it doesn't really feel like I need to see the ending. I don't know. Weird. They're like slice of life. They're like slice of life video games. just enjoy their day now and don't even worry about the future.
Yeah, the artist, the one with the paintings was Lydia and Suele.
That's Chalet, right.
Chalet was the one where they both had the same names. But I don't know that either of them were a homunculus unless you got farther into it than I did. And then Eshki and
Sophie. I'm saying Sophie was the one I believe is she's a homunculus.
Yeah, I don't have a Sophie one. So either they haven't released that one yet, or you got one from a different set than I did.
I think that was another one that was a review code. No, it's on Switch.
Sophie?
It's not on Switch yet. It's April 22nd. Sophie will be on Switch.
Okay. I seem to remember one is coming out. It was announced recently. Is that going to be another?
I don't think she's a manga.
No, that's got to be.
I swear, I think she's a book. I think she's the book.
That's got to be coming. That's got to be part of the Ryza series. I did grab Ryza 2, so it'll be interesting to see where that one goes as well. I've spent way too much money on Atelier by itself. Just be buying that, them and all their download or DLC was just insane.
Yeah. One day, however, she comes across a mysterious book that moves and talks on its own free will. Sophie's goal. Yeah, I think that, yeah, she's supposed to be a book. Very, she has very different character design than usual. Plakta, that was her name. Very, very risky outfit compared to most characters in the Atelier series. Of course, she being a book and all that kind of stuff, they usually kind of give them a more risky look, even though they don't even understand what they look like. Yeah. I've just been playing Ultima Online still. I made a thief the other day and started dungeon thieving, which I've never done before, and that was a lot of fun. And then I started raising up my Sampire, and I'm almost to the point where my Sampire can start destroying stuff. That's the new thing now, is Sampires in that game. Samurai, Vampires, thingies.
Why does it feel like I've played this before?
Probably because you watched me play it.
Is this on...
The crazy...
Was it already released on PS4?
Yeah, I think that's where I played it on. I think I got a code for the PS4.
Maybe I snuck in and started playing it at some point. That's funny. I seem to remember this one for sure.
Need like a... I'm sure somebody's done it out there already, but I need like a guide of what is unique about each one of them. Because they always each one have like its own unique thing. Of course, most of them kind of just introduce something new that the next one will take, but... They always have kind of some fascinating thing about them, like the older ones with the time limits and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I haven't played Genshin Impact in forever. I got my Mega Man character and then I just stopped playing. I don't know. I just don't with Ultima Online and stuff. I just don't really have time to fire it up and play it.
I guess the grind.
I'm finally done with the grind of the repetition grind they have in that game.
Yeah, I gotta get back into it too. I dumped god awful amount of money on getting that on getting what's her face, and I haven't touched it really since. I clicked it on a couple of times and leveled her up, but it wasn't grind level. I just used a bunch of books on her and moved on. But I haven't. I need to get in there and get the new content. I've got to go to what is that? Dragon's Land or Dragon's whatever. Spine. Yeah, I've got to get over there and do that stuff. I've got to get used to it, because it definitely feels like the tweak really hit me hard. Because everything is just murdering me. I have a group that I built up specifically because I liked the way they play, and I'm getting absolutely murdered with them. So,
yeah, that's what sucks. Is like the best newbie's guide to actually being able to do stuff really easily. Like, yeah, you can technically, as long as you do elemental reactions with whatever characters you're playing, you can do all the content. But it's like when you get to people saying, okay, this is the way to win the game with, you know, freebie characters or whatever, it's Bennett. I don't want Bennett in my group. It's like, look, this amazing damage. I'm like, oh, where's the switch to Bennett? There's Bennett. Yeah, I don't want Bennett in my group. He looks like a doofus.
Well,
he looks like a reject out of Pokemon.
Pretty much the way for me to play and get anywhere is Klee and Saber Girl. What's her name?
Jean.
That's pretty much the only way that I can do anything is Klee and Jean. Nobody else.
I finally gave up on Klee. Like, she just dies. Like, she.
Yeah.
Like, you're talking about the difficulties. Like, I'm at the, I don't know, I'm like, what, 8 or something like that world level. It's like, it's getting so stupid. It's like whatever you get to when you're, I think, 55. I think I'm world 50, or Adventure 55. But at some point, it's like, I can't even have her out in the field. She just dies. Now, granted, thankfully, I got Zhongli, and Zhongli got an insane buff. And so now, like, as long as I keep my shield up, I can survive most hits on any character. But,
well,
like,
yeah.
The problem is there's so much stuff that one-shots you or two-shots you, and they attack so frequently, it's like you can't keep dodging. At some point, you cannot dodge anymore, and then you're just dead.
Yeah, that's pretty much me, is throw out a whole bunch of bombs and then hope to survive with Jean, or with Jean. That's pretty much. And these are normal mobs out on the field. I'm not joking when I say these things are murdering me. All of my characters are pretty much at level 70. These things are all at level 76. So, yes, I am talking about the normal mobs out on the field are killing me. And this is your daily commission quests. That's how much I really need to get in there and start fussing with stuff, because and like I said before, this is the team that I keep as a backup, because I know those are the ones that if I want to do anything with, I have to use them. This is not my team that I like playing with. The team that I like playing with, forget it. And that is all of my archers in a team. I've got the water guy, child guy. I've got the new girl that I just bought, which she's not even ready. She's at level 50. So I keep switching her out with,
it's like, I'm tempted to say that if you build up Ganyu, it's going to be like cake, but it's like, you still have to get away from stuff. You still have to get range to shoot, you know, in first person, but or third person technically, but
yeah,
it's like, and she makes things so cake. It's like, you don't even have to get near the mobs. Just shoot them from a distance, charge shot. They're dead. Like the two towers commission. It's like from like Gob's awful distance away, just charge shot the two towers and you're done. And it makes it so easy. It's like, I don't even have to get near it. So I'm like, I'm pretty close. I can see the two towers. Shoot. Done.
Yeah. I've got her. And I keep having to switch her back and forth with, daggummit, I haven't played this in so long. I'm having such a hard time remembering names. The fire archer girl. I switch
Amber
out with her, and sometimes Catgirl. I switch her out there too. And then I've got the other two archers that I have. Dadgummit, I'm almost half tempted to just open the stupid game so I stop. Because I feel like an idiot going, this girl, and this girl.
Archer girl, Lancer girl. Well, now you can't say Lancer girl anymore. You can't say Fire Lancer anymore because there's two Fire Lancers now.
I will admit I was half tempted to go and get Venti. I really am thinking about getting Venti because he is I do like his ability to bring everything together.
Yeah, he's pretty mad OP. Like, his little flying trick thing is not really as unique anymore because they give everybody it, but he still is, like, incredible with being able to pull everything together. And that couple with jeans making a nice little swirl pull. Or just swirl it and then throw a bunch of bombs inside of it. Which they still haven't fixed that issue of it not picking up bombs, which does not make any sense. Unless they fixed it recently with the patch and I just missed it. Yeah, 1.4 is supposed to be out, and I need to make sure that I'm not missing anything.
It looks like it's downloading it for me right now, so.
Yay. Yeah, because it went through, I know the patch went through several days ago, but they were, like, delaying when the actual content came, something like that. I don't know. One of these days I'll get back into it. Yeah, that's what's been going on. I posted my review for Amiibuda. Thankfully, as in stark contrast to Sony Music Japan and their willingness to strike my channel, Nozomi Entertainment was perfectly willing for me to actually use footage. So I have my first anime review video up on our YouTube channel with actual visual content on it. So I was super excited about it. It was a nice learning experience because splicing together a whole bunch of footage, ripping the Blu-rays so I could do that was a lot of fun. But I think it turned out all right, and hopefully people check out the video. It is difficult because it's the same case with a lot of the reviews that we do for older titles when we get review copies, is they don't really get as much traction as a, you know, current time show that everybody's, you know, paid attention to. But I do want people to, if you can, even if you don't normally do YouTube, please go check out the video. That way you can get some traction, because that will kind of help us in the future get other, you know, create other licensors to go, hey, can you do our show here? You can use footage and everything like that. So it's kind of important to us. So if you can, if you do have time, please go check out that review. It would be much appreciated. But yeah, a lot of fun stuff coming around the corner. Of course, we have our reviews starting to pop. I got the Mushoku Tensei Jobless Reincarnation. That's the first one that I had on my list that ended up completing. I will be probably putting together a schedule on my calendar so that I can make sure that I can plan out each of the shows. But yes, there'll be a lot of review content coming onto the YouTube channel. And then eventually when we get a good bunch of them together, we'll do a review on the podcast itself. So don't worry about that. And then, of course, we have next season coming. And then we'll be doing first episode impressions and stuff like that. So a lot of fun stuff coming around the corner. And I hope people will join us for all that stuff. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I'm desperately trying to decide between kind of a catch-up and kind of which shows to keep going on. I really want to finish catching up on Log Horizon, but that one's going to be one of the biggest ones to, because I still have the entire third season and half of the last core of the second season. So I've gotten a lot farther. I haven't really gotten any farther than where I was before. I did get about. I figured out where I was on the second season last time. So I.
Is it just me, or is it not people not even talking about that show? Like, I almost forgot that it was even this season, because nobody's really talking about it.
I don't doubt it. I would assume that it just fell off a lot of people's radars at some point. And
I think it's the gap.
It is a shame because there is some really cool stuff in there when you get into digging into it, even going past where we kind of dropped off of it. Getting a little bit farther in, they've introduced a couple of ideas that it's like, what would that mean if you were to do that? In particular, they revealed a character that is quote unquote a Chinese bot. And it's like, wow, I hadn't really ever thought of that. Because if you are a person that it gets cut off, why can't a Chinese bot get cut off and become a part of that world? And so it's like, I wonder how they're going to deal with that in the future. That is a fascinating idea. So it does do a lot of very interesting, very unique concepts, and I still applaud it for doing that. It's just time sucks when it comes to a show that long right now.
Yeah, like thankfully, with Jujutsu Kaisen, I just kind of set aside an entire day and got pretty much caught up with that one. I still got like about 4 or 5 episodes to go, but
well, even with me, I was dedicating big old large chunks of time to it just to rehash all the old stuff, and I'm now at technically 40 episodes in, so I did do a decent amount of catching up. Just have to finish up the last part of it.
Yeah, that's similar to Higurashi. Of course, I've just discovered they're going on for another season, so it's like it almost gives you that kind of sigh of relief, like, oh, I guess I could just put this off now because it's not going to be completed anytime soon. So, but then I'm like, I don't know. Of course, that one I really badly just wanted to go back and watch the original one before I watched it, and then that's going into far greater deals than Log Horizon catching up, because that's, you know, all the previous seasons, then this entire 2 core plus additional core. It's a lot of episodes to go through.
You are literally dedicating, 25 hours to that show, roughly.
Yeah.
So yeah. It is rough.
Well, that's why, like I said, with Log Horizon, it's like, I almost wonder if it's just because there's such a huge... It could either be the fact that the people that, you know, maybe the fandom for Log Horizon are just wholesome and they don't want to spoil things for people. But at the same time, it could be the aspect of, well, if it is that time gap between the two seasons, which is technically the gap that we typically see in the turnaround for anime fans, is that, you know, 3-year point where people kind of drift away from the fandom and then they come back later, possibly.
Ooh, that is true. Is it that much of a time gap?
Wow. Oh, yeah, it was a huge time gap. I want to say at least 5 years, at least. Maybe even 7 years.
It seems like it came out when we first started the podcast.
So we had the first season in 2013 to 14. Second season was 14 to 15. So it's been easily 6 years.
Wow. So
yeah, I forgot that the first and second were pretty close to each other. But yeah, that's even far greater than the usual turnaround time for an anime fan. But yeah. Anything else?
Oh, I bumped into somebody who actually in real life. Yeah, this is exciting, guys. I bumped into somebody who knew about the Otaku Spirit. I was like, wow, cool.
We just randomly talking about it, and they jumped on it.
No, they were wearing, actually, strangely enough, a Hanako-kun shirt, and I went, ooh, Hanako-kun, and she was like, oh, I didn't know anybody. It's rare to find somebody who's old that knows that show. I'm like, I'm not that old. Come <That's> on. Old.
Oh gosh. Ow.
But yeah, I asked them if they knew Otaku Spirit, and she said, yeah. So that was cool.
Ah, cool, cool, cool. Yeah, I haven't really experienced that aspect. I have a lot of people that I've ran into that are anime fans. It's not really hard to find an anime fan. It's hard to find an anime fan that listens to podcasts. And I think that's why we have like that. I think majority we have more older listeners, just because, you know, nothing against people listening to this. I think most people that listen to podcasts are probably older at this point. I think podcast listeners are kind of the adults. They're going to, you know, work and they're listening to it in the car, that kind of stuff. Whereas most, you know, younger audience, they're looking for video content and they're looking for that kind of stuff. So, and that was kind of the issue that I ran into when I was doing the YouTube channel. I was like, do I aim the YouTube channel for that younger audience? Do I be more goofy and cringy on the YouTube just to get the YouTube audience? Because it's not the same audience as what you get with podcasting. Podcasters, when we get feedback on our podcast, it's because people are looking for a non-cringe, somebody that they can listen to in the car and not have to worry about their kids hearing it. That kind of audience. It's weird.
Yeah, it's been... Most of the time, I agree. I do find a lot of anime watchers, and most anime watchers don't really know our podcast. Now, it is funny because I was talking to one of the gals at work about how I even knew to ask, which I've asked occasionally, but not as it depends on how hardcore the person is. And Hanako-kun shirt is pretty obscure, so it was like, yeah, you would be my target audience, somebody who is really deep in it. It's not like somebody who will walk through with Naruto. I may not talk to him about anime because they're not really into it like somebody who would wear Hanako-kun. That's somebody who really likes anime. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the, do you like Toonami or do you like anime?
Yeah.
It's unfortunately, and it's nothing against, because there's plenty of people out there that watch tons of anime and they watch Naruto. But yeah, there's a
very different thing.
Larger audience of people that watch just Naruto. There's a much huger audience that just watches Dragon Ball. That's like our other brother. He's watched pretty much the entire Dragon Ball series gobs of times. Like, he's probably watched more Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Super and all that more than we have. Me and Chris combined, probably. But he has not watched pretty much anything else. He's watched a little bit of Sword Art, but that's about it.
I do know that you had him try Demon Slayer. Have you had him try Naruto and all the other ones? Bleach in
particular.
No,
because I don't want to sit through Naruto again.
Bleach,
Naruto's like one that I don't really want to sit through again, honestly.
I could see him liking Bleach. Bleach has that kind of more...
I figured he would love My Hero Academia. I just think at the time when I tried to get him to watch it, he wasn't really into watching something. But I think he'd love Hero Academia.
Yeah, well, Bleach, I was saying Bleach mostly because that's more mature, and I could see him enjoying that more than Naruto. Naruto's a hit and miss. It really is, because it has too much Gambatte type feel, where Bleach is more... Yeah, it has that gambate, but it's, and I say gambate as in get up off of the floor and go, you can do it, which I can see Dragon Ball Z does have that to a point, but it's not kind of more kiddish, that Naruto has a more kiddish vibe. Yeah, later on in the latter episodes, it gets more mature,
Shippuden,
but...
Yeah, Shippuden definitely matures a lot. His characters get older.
Yeah, but at the beginning, it does have this kind of go get them vibe that is more kiddish,
and it's funny because I think with that,
have that.
Yeah, I think with Bleach is kind of feels like it was aimed towards more of a older teenager audience, but yeah, with Naruto, it's like it always has kind of a feeling of, you know, some maturity around it, especially because Naruto himself, growing up, he's surrounded by adults, and those adults do seem to be more the thing that balances it out. But it's like, but with Naruto on the screen, it's always poo-poo and stuff like that. You know, it's poop jokes and toilet humor. Yeah. It's like, what the heck, dude? Get off the screen. But no, it's sad because I think it's more of a fact that I don't think he really has you know, the attention span to want to mess with a new series. And I think that the only reason that he rewatches Dragon Ball because it's nostalgia. He loves rewatching it and, you know, re-experiencing those stories that we loved when we were kids. And I just don't think that he's really interested in watching a new series, which is unfortunate because, like I said, I do want to get him into things like, I would love to get him into Demon Slayer. I think that's the one I was trying to do the most. I figured he would love it, but, and then I thought that My Hero Academia is like an easy. I've heard most people like superhero stuff, and having an anime version of it was kind of a given, but I don't know. It's hard to get his attention span on something. I just need to sit him down and say, sit down, shut up. You're going to watch this. You get past two episodes and you're going to like it.
Well, it's even like we were talking about with the other day when we were talking about Hajime no Ippo popping up on that. It's one of those I wish I could explicitly describe why I love that and why it works the way it does. And it has that gambate, but it has the more adult type feel, and at the same time it's a sports show, so it's got that, it's hitting all those notches, and it's at the same time it has this feeling of just appreciating guys and guy humor type stuff. It has all of those in one package, and so it's like, could I why do I suggest it? Because of that. It has all, everything that you love about shonen, it's got that. Everything that you like about sports show, it's got that. It's that's why it's such a perfect show. And I wish
two things I'm not a big fan of right now.
I know. That's why I've never really fan the
sports stuff. It's just not really. I don't like it. It's just I'm not into it right now.
That's kind of the reason why I haven't pushed you to watch it, because I do know that it's a big show to. I mean, that one we were talking about Log Horizon being long. That's what Hajime no Ippo is nearly 200 episodes long, isn't it?
What? And sure as heck, I'm going to watch anytime soon.
Oh no, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I know at least it's 100 episodes.
130. No, that's volumes. Sorry, 76. Then a film, then an OVA, then 26, then 25.
So 100. And, so, yeah. About 130 episodes. Yeah. It wasn't short. I do remember that. But
that kind of makes you want to watch it more now, but at the same time, did it ever have a finishing to it, or is it one of those ones that's just going to be in, like, forever stuck in never-finishing mode?
With the Rising was the last one, and yes, it is continuing after, and it does hint that it's continuing after that. No, never actually got into the manga.
Wow, surprised you never did that. As much as you climb time on it, I figure you'd jump right into that.
I don't know that it would translate well as a manga. It does wonderful as a, it's just kind of like the Attack on Titan. Seeing it actually in action would make a million times difference. It's one of those that I wish I could explain. When you watch it, you'll get it. It's the tension of.
I'll love it once I get into it. No, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I do know that if you actually gave it a chance, I think you'd love it. It's just. You have to. I don't want to force you into it. Does that make sense?
Because I know what you like about sports shows, and it's exactly what I like about sports shows. Because when you were joking about the whole sports thing, I know that you don't intentionally mean it as is a sports show. It is the type of sports shows that I know that you look for is exactly what I look for. It's a show that is not about the sport. It's about the heart of the sport. It's about the people of the sport. And getting into why, and getting to that point where you want to root for them, not just, I don't care who's going to win on each side. Like, that is the worst feeling possible when I'm watching a sports show of any type, and I go, I don't even care who wins. But when you have a sports show,
you hit it.
There's two levels. It's like, it's this the ones that don't do it right is where I don't care who wins. The ones that do it good are where you rooting for one side. The ones that do it excellent is where you're going, holy crap, I want this person to win. The ones that perfect it is the one that go, I don't want either one to lose.
Yeah, and you hit the nail exactly on the head. That is almost to a T, Hajime no Ippo. And that, I think,
which
is
one?
The reason
why. The one
why,
where you don't, you want one side to lose?
Yeah, basically. There's only been maybe three quote-unquote opponents that I've ever gone in, that they've ever gone into, and it's like, I just want to see Hajime no Ippo. There's been times where I've gone into episodes where it is literally, I want to see Ippo win because this guy is such a horrible person. And then after you go like 40 episodes later, they go back into that character because of a rematch of whatever reason, and they actually explain that character a bit more than they already explained him. Explain the character the first time. They've explained him more. You get more backstory on that character, and you love that character even more, or you hate that character even more. They do. The writer on Ippo is just phenomenal.
And to give people examples, like Hinamaru Sumo, I wanted to love that show, and it was mainly because it had heart in the main character. It had so much heart in the main. That was what made that show, was the heart of the main character. He was too short to be able to qualify, and he found a way that he could get around the system. But he was that character in that story was the only heart. And so whenever we got to the point where we were doing tournaments, I was like, I don't need a 5-minute backstory of this character. This is not interesting. You're not going to give me enough in 5 minutes to care about this. And then it would go to the next batch. He's like, oh, here's another 5-minute back. No, it's too late. You can't do it in the middle of the match. You can't give me the backstory and anything about this character in the middle of the match. There's doing it perfect. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact of how much time they have. You have to build into these characters. You have to build into the matches. And I think that does help with something like Hajime no Ippo, because you technically have a match between two people that is on a set date. Whereas with something like Hinamaru Sumo, it was a tournament all being done, tons of people all fighting each other at the same time. You don't have time to do that. You don't have time to get into the characters.
Yeah, the only extra characters outside of his opponent, which they'll go into the opponent's backstory usually in some way, shape, or form. The only other characters is he's got 3/4 characters in his, and I say /4 because that is the rival character who actually goes into another gym. The other three guys in his gym are the only other ones that really get any matches, and they're kind of intermixed into, yeah, they may fight in the same general time frame as Ippo, but not necessarily. This is a show about Ippo and his growth, and it focuses very heavily on Ippo and his growth, and you get a backstory of who is the opponent that he's going with. It does delve into kind of a quote unquote romance story of him and some of the girls, or one of the girl around a girl that is around in his general vicinity. And that is absolutely adorable. The guys,
Adrian!
What was it?
Hinamaru-san! Hinamaru-san! Hinamaru-san!
There is one guy who is involved in one of his, to give you an idea of one of the characters that you end up not liking as an opponent for Ippo, does something kind of mean to his love interest, and that makes you really, really despise the guy. And that's how much you end up falling in love with this girl, and how much you want to see Ippo with that girl.
Well,
it's kind of like the
what was the term that we used? The beautiful flower on the side of the road kind of concept, where a lot of those shows, they don't have really any female characters, and there's a lot of male characters, and there's that one female character. Like, Run with the Wind was like, you have this one female character in the show, really, and it's like, she's like the flower that pops up every now and then. It's kind of a weird effect that does. We almost should have talked about that in that, what was that, the episode that we did for the waifus and husbando thing. It's like that aspect of scarcity that creates that flower in the group.
Yeah. And they balance the female characters very well. And they don't get too stuck on them. And at the same time, they do give that honest balance. There she is.
Well, we should probably get into the news. It's so funny because we didn't really have much news in the last couple of weeks. So I'm like, okay, this will be an answer questions podcast. And then we have 45 minutes of talking, which is fine because I'm sure people most like that kind of format to just us running through a bunch of news. So, yeah, we should jump into the news. Then we get some questions done before we finish up because we're running long at this point. But you ready?
Do it.
All right. So this is the news that seems important to us, that should be important to you because it's important to us because it's important to you. One Week Friends manga is getting a sequel manga that is debuting in April 22nd. And I purposely didn't give us any context to this when I put this in the outline because I don't want spoilers. I'm sure that it's probably some after story or something like that. And I don't want to know. But that's exciting. I am kind of curious because it does feel like, didn't One Week Friends feel pretty complete, the anime adaptation?
Yeah.
So I wonder if
I thought about going to check and I was like, no, I better not.
Yeah, don't. I wouldn't. Good choice. But yeah, that's exciting. I had my issues with One Week Friend. That was mainly the main character. Like, I despised him so much. And that kind of sucks for a show to despise the main character in a way that's not, you know, I don't despise him because the writing's really good. I despise him because he's just annoying and he'd make stupid decisions. But I did like the concept of the show. So
I don't remember us not liking him.
Oh, I just hated him, dude. Hated that guy. Burning passion. I think I still bought it, didn't I? I think I did buy it.
Yeah, I seem to remember us liking it, but it's been a long time since we watched it, so.
Yeah, I think I bought it. Yeah, that's that, though. Science Fell in Love, So I Try to Prove It, second season, had a new trailer released for it, and they have set a premiere date for 2022, so another year before you guys are going to watch that one. Are you excited? Did you end up finishing that one, didn't you?
Yeah. I'm moderately excited.
Yeah.
Because I did like some of the jokes that they did on that. It was hit or miss, so it should be fun, though.
Yeah.
Hopefully they, as I mentioned before, hopefully they got used to making the jokes and get better at the jokes as they go along.
Well, that's the question. Did you feel like it was getting better as it went along? Because the issue that I had, of course, early on was that it felt like it was too busy getting into the math and stuff and the science, which is technically the point of the joke, but it got so wordy and talky about the math that the punchlines got lost in it. I started getting like, you're losing me. Oh, there's a punchline. Okay, let's get into the next part.
No, it just added cuter characters.
Yeah, as you do. As you do.
Yeah. You can't land the joke, so add more characters and sure, eventually
it'll work. More archetypes. More archetypes. Yeah, throw them in there. Sprinkle them in.
And that I think was really its strong suit, was just the diversity of the characters and how each one of them reacted to the situation, and it just became naturally more amusing as there was more interesting ways of dealing with the situation. That's about the only appeal that I got out of the latter episodes. That's why it should be interesting to see the next season, to see if they're finally figuring out how to handle everything, because it really does, like Andrew was mentioning, it got so stuck on the science, which quote unquote is the joke. But at the same time, there's a dryness to that where there, I do appreciate a dry humor. The dryness cannot be the joke, and that's the problem. And that's what they were doing. They were making the dryness the joke, and that because they're trying to explain something that is kind of a feeling. It's not necessarily the.
It's hard to prove it by science. That was a whole joke.
That's the joke.
Yeah. Doki doki feelings, heartbeats, all that kind of stuff.
I got the doki dokis. Let's make a breakdown of the doki dokis. Yeah, it's your heart's beating faster. That's the point.
Your rhythm and pacing of heartbeats and all that kind of stuff. Okay, no, and you're losing me again. Stop.
Well, and they were doing the like I said, the latter episodes they were going more into making fun of tropes and then explaining the tropes. So yes and
that
no.
I did enjoy that stuff, like the wall plant thing, and they started having each one of the people do the wall plant thing. It was like I said, the beginning of the joke is so much fun and I love it and it's so cute, and then it just starts expanding on it and it starts bringing out the spreadsheets and it's like, no, you're losing me again.
Yeah, and that's what I mean is. Adding the other characters is what they did later. Adding the extra characters did add more different reactions, which was good. But at the same time, they still kept going back to the dryness, which that was the frustration.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're adding even more characters in the next season, which should be interesting. Because I don't know who the bulky guy is there at all.
Soon they'll have an entire facility. fans like of Ultimate Talk the Teacher.
Character?
Moving on. Moving on. Yeah, fans of Ultimate Talk the Teacher or Denpa Kyoshi, the mangaka Takashi Azuma has announced on Twitter that it'll be launching a new isekai manga. The title of it is Isekai Chef to Saikyo Bushoku Hime, or The Otherworld Chef and the Strongest Princess of Gluttony. So, I think it was pretty mixed on Denpa Kyoshi, if I remember correctly. So, I don't know. It's kind of interesting to see them go from a pretty sciencey teacher type of show to a isekai. But that's the growing craze right now is want to get relevant in the world, make an isekai.
He's going to another world?
No, oh my gosh. It's a whole new manga.
Oh, okay.
Whole new show.
I was actually joking with Andrew last night. I finished Code Black, and yes, they did isekai at the end of it, and I got such a kick out of it and had to text Andrew about that. They're
technically in the first season they ended it with an isekai. The first season ended with other people being isekai'd.
Oh, okay. Yeah, did they?
Yeah, they had a transfusion at the very end of it. A whole bunch of people were flying into their world. So, yeah. But yeah, check that out. I'm still not a huge fan of his art style, but it's good on him. Wish him success on that one. For those that are not keeping track of it and probably don't know, I don't know why you wouldn't. Episode 11 of Mushoku Tensei Jobless Reincarnation, at the very end of it, of course, did confirm a part 2 for the series. They do not have a confirmed date yet. A lot of listings show it as summer, but that could always change, of course. But looking forward to more. That was I already made a video, so hopefully people will stop
cheated.
This and go watch the video review and all that kind of stuff. But
you cheated and reviewed it without me.
that review, I pretty much stated, and I'm going to probably get a lot of heat for it, this show could possibly go down as the best isekai ever. And I am willing to probably say that it could end up, if the later parts of it do keep up the pace as now, I think it could probably go down in my top anime of all time.
I just
think it's a perfect show in every way. It's just kind of a perfect show.
I kind of agree with you, and I was thinking about it as I was listening to your review. It's like I actually agree with you, and the only I agree that the one show that it would be fighting for has got, because it easily it beats ReZero for me.
I'm at that point now. It's like I'm fighting with myself. But I'm kind of at that point right now. It's just, yeah, it's the other one. It's the other one.
The other one. The other one is a little bit more difficult to do because she actually has the cute factor, which kind of leans me towards her. And it's like, but
it's
both
not really
of them,
the cute factor. But yeah, the cute factor is there, and I can see it being a lot for you. But it's a.
They
it's,
both
I think it's
have
more of the underdog
storytelling.
They both I think it's more the underdog aspect.
For her, I could go with that on her, not so much on him.
I mean, no, her. That show has an underdog aspect to it.
Yeah. And that,
now, granted, Mishoka's probably going to eventually get to that point, but so far it hasn't really put... It has put them in that situation, he especially with the later parts. It does feel like he doesn't really have much of a... I think he'd be dead if weren't for another character with him. Like, literally, I don't think he can stand on his own. But it doesn't feel like it. Like, with The Sentence of Bookworm, it feels like she is literally pulling herself from the mud. She's literally in the mud. She's dying. Like, her character is dying at the very beginning. And she has to pull herself out of that. And I don't think you really get that situation with Mishoko.
But
plus, I think The Sentence of Bookworm is a lot more easier to suggest to people.
Yeah.
like Mushoku Tensei, it's sad because Mushoku Tensei Jobless Reincarnation is hard to recommend. Like, I would love to sit down my brother and the other brother and have him watch it, but it does have that stigma within it that he
Roxy
is
treasure would immediately shut people down.
He's a perv.
Yeah.
And it sucks because it's like, that's the point. He's maturing. When's the last time you had him perv out like that? He really hasn't, because he's maturing as a character from when he
at
was
at the end of the last episode.
Yeah, I think that was a throw quick jab in there. But it's not like him sneaking up on her when she's sleeping and pulling down her underwear when she's younger.
Yeah.
It's a little different. That's a little harder to sell.
It is one of those that is, I agree 100%. It is one of those that is, it is hard to suggest him over the other. But at the same time, one of the things that you were mentioning in your review, and I absolutely, like, 1,000% agree on, is the amount of perfect writing that both shows do. And I think you put it in an interesting way, which I kind of agree. Both shows give you so much content minute for minute. You are...
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't
feel
like it's...
I am absolutely blown away that it's only been 11.
It doesn't feel like you're at a breakneck pace. It just feels natural, the flow of the story.
Yeah.
And yet you're getting so much information and content, and you're just feeling like... Because I was absolutely screaming at Andrew, and I didn't want to force him to go into the show in case I was, you know, blowing it out of proportion. Because I kept texting Andrew, you don't understand, this is such an awesome show, I'm loving the show. And at the same time, I didn't want to go, Andrew, you have to be watching it right now, because I don't know if I was blowing it out of proportion. And then when he started going, this show is amazing, I was like, thank you. I don't feel like I'm going crazy. This is such an amazing show. They were doing so wonderful. The visuals were on point. The story was on point. Yeah, he's a little bit of a perv, but it was the point, and it wasn't the point at the same time. He was such a dynamic character, and I loved it.
Oh, yeah, and that's what I mentioned in the review, is like I totally expect this character to possibly be like one of the greatest anime characters of all time, because – And granted, because it is basically him growing up, and that, I think that's a huge thing. But he as a person, even though he has the body of a 40-year-old inside of a kid, he is maturing because he never matured in his previous life. And that's the whole point. It's like he did not mature. He was still a teenager in a 40-year-old body because he was a neet, because he was so abused. And now he is finding that maturity. He's learning to rely on people. And that's the huge change. We're totally reviewing it right now. But no, it sucks because I have that problem right now where I'm trying to schedule out my time to knock out these reviews and videos and stuff. And so, like, that, the whole situation there was, like, we watched the, you know, enough to do our first impressions. And I'm like, okay, now I have to get caught up on this stuff. And then Chris is like, dude, you gotta go back over here. You gotta come back over here. You gotta come back over here. I'm like, dude, I'm trying to finish this other stuff. Let me finish this other stuff, Chris. Time. When are we going to get it?
When are we
going to get that time thing? But I'm super excited for more of it. And it is a conundrum. It's like I hate the fact that we have a wait, but at the same time, I know why it's there. It's to keep that quality up there. And that literally the animation and quality they've been doing is literally breathing extra life into it. It is when you have all these pillars of animation that gives the believability, the characters, the writing, the pacing, it all comes together. And if we lose one of those pillars because we want, you know, it to be nonstop, and it turns into something like, you know, nothing against them, but a lot of the shonens have that problem. The only reason that Hero Academia does not have that problem is because they take breaks. And we don't want them to turn into, you know, a fairy tale or something like that. So, it's good stuff. Good stuff.
And it's frustrating because the sad thing is the reason why I felt so excited to talk about this show is because this show easily it trumped everything else in the season. I mean, outside of some of our returners and stuff like that.
Wonder Egg Priority is going to ask a question there.
I know.
It's
going
to be so hard
really
to choose which one's number
it.
One. Oh, it's so
I
good.
I do need to really watch that show. It that one's the one show that kind of I hate that I ended up, because that was what I was talking about. If shows
how
that
far
I
are you
need
behind?
To, huh?
How
since
far are
our,
you behind?
Since
on
our
that?
Since our first impressions.
Gosh. Stop the podcast. You're watching it right now. Are you serious?
Yeah. That one and
you hurt me.
I Idly Pride, that one, and the Alice in Wonderland one. That all three of those is the ones that I've been wanting to catch up on. And that's what I was saying. I'm stuck between those and Log Horizon. I am kind of glad that we're doing a discussional this week, because I didn't want to miss out on any of them. And that's why I can't wait to see what you're planning as far as our breakdown of which episodes are going to get to which. So I've got at least another week to
catch up. Oh yeah, Mushoku Tensei was definitely early. The rest of them is kind of, there's quite a few later this week, but yeah, it's, I don't know. I haven't really gotten put it together entirely yet. I think we have this week is ending is ReZero, Dr. Stone, Quintuplets, Promised Neverland, Bottom Tier, and Attack on Titan, Kimono Jaihin.
Yeah, that one's another one that I ended up letting go, by the way. What? And I do know that you're going to be chomping at the bit to me to finish that one up as well.
What?
Titan.
Oh. Yeah, it's gonna be new to me. And I wonder if Attack on Titan might end on the 4th, because I know that they delayed one episode because of the earthquake. I don't know if my schedule that I pulled up is taking that into consideration. But yeah, it's gonna be new for me because I got like literally a couple chapters from the end of it in the manga, so I'm probably just gonna watch the ending in the animated format, so I gotta avoid the spoilers for a little bit longer.
Yeah, I've gotta go because of the stuff that's going on around me here. It's making it really difficult for me to keep up on stuff, and I've been trying my best. And those are the shows that I have every intention on watching. And that's why I was saying I want to. Log Horizon is almost a guaranteed. I want to finish that one. Attack on Titan is kind of one of those that I'll probably just watch at some point, even if I miss out on this season. I know that Andrew wants to talk to me about it because there's stuff that he's been chomping at the bit to talk to me about. And I think that I've already bumped into what he's seen, but we don't want to spoil it, or he doesn't want to spoil me if he has seen something that I haven't seen. So yes, that's going to be one that probably end up finishing up, but those by themselves, that's nearly, at least 30 episodes worth of content that I technically need to watch. And that's why I'm kind of hoping that we'll put that as the last ones. The other three shows, are we doing you think we're going to be doing a 3-episode review season or 2?
Probably 3.
Yeah. 'Cause if that's the case, then that gives me 3 weeks to get those 2 done. If we go off of the stuff that's already completed right now, which is, I probably have what about,
I don't know that we'll have a review next week. I don't know that we'll have enough shows, but we'll see, obviously. But they're still showing the 16th episode being next week. Let me see if, because I think it was the 15th episode that was delayed on Attack on Titan. So 16th might still be on schedule a bit to finish this next weekend. Yeah, that'll be exciting. I am technically keeping caught up on the manga, but I'm pretty sure the anime is probably finally passed me up, and I'll be able to experience the ending fresh on the animated version, and hopefully not get spoiled on it. It has been nice to be being ahead of a source material for once, not having to worry about spoilers. Now they only show 74 on Crunchyroll, so I think the delay is not in effect. So it's probably the third that the final episode will be, or the fourth. I'm sorry.
I let Dr. Ramune go. I let X Arm. I didn't even try to do X Arm, and none of the rumors that I've heard about that one is got me halfway interested in what's going on with that. I don't want to bash it.
It's pretty bad when you have people trying to do better animation and scenes on by themselves just to prove how badly they did it.
I heard an explanation of what happened with it, and I can kind of understand it. The guy was trying to do kind of a mocap with it, and it just wasn't working real well. So, yeah, we'll see. Jujutsu Kaisen, I let that one go, last season? I have kept up on Heaven's Design. I have kept up on Laid Back Camp, and I'm surprised it seems like you let Non Non Biori go. How did that happen?
It's something that I literally have so many shows that I'm trying to cover and get videos made for. It's not that I have boatloads of time. It's like I got more time because I can focus on stuff, but at the same time, I have to create content at the same time. So it's a juggling there. I mean, it's not that I'm not going to finish it.
I just had to poke at you.
Plus, you have to take into consideration a lot of the stuff that I'm trying to cover is mainly stuff that can be spoiled. You can't really have Non Non Biori have a spoiler. I mean, it could, but it's probably not.
The addition of a Tama character. Gee, Andrew, thank you.
I watched that a long time ago.
Yeah,
you're behind on that one.
Oh no, I'm all the way caught up. I just you got the
You have to tell me in text every 2 seconds. It's like Chris always complains about spoilers, and yet he's always sending me spoilers in my text.
What?
It's like, okay, Chris, I really don't want to know about the show.
What spoiler did I give you? What spoiler did I give you?
Everything. Every text you send me is a spoiler.
The show that you're not going to watch this season.
Which one's that? What am I not watching this season?
I thought you had dropped Code Black a long time ago. I thought that's what you said.
Oh, I'm just mixed on if I'll finish it.
And those are the only two spoilers I can think of that this season that I sent you. I'm just poking at you. You got Laidback
Camp spoilers. You got,
oh, you're not going to watch Laidback Camp.
Why would I not watch Laidback Camp?
I don't know. I don't know what you'll watch. You'll watch what you're going to watch. Yeah, Nonnambiori, I'm caught up on. ReZero, I caught up on.
Sent me spoilers on Hidden Dungeon.
Got a good one out of that one, though. Do what?
Anyways.
Spider.
Yeah, there's not really many of them that I won't. I'm even considering going back and watching Other Side Picnic. I really do think that there's possibly something in there. I don't think I'm going to go back to Praetor. I just don't think those first episodes were really selling me. I'm sorry, Gohans. Sorry, Gohans. I don't know that I can go back. We'll see, though.
I never did get to watch Quintessential Quintuplets. That does irritate me. I was able to keep up on Hidden Dungeon and Slime, which Slime, I think, is going to continue, right?
Yeah. Oh, no. No, Slime's done. For now.
Is it?
I mean, it's never technically done, but its current core is done, or its current season is done. It'll be, its last episode is this weekend? This following weekend? Maybe next Monday, Tuesday?
Yeah, I'm going to be probably kind of mad that unless they announce another core for sure, that's going to be annoying. Because it's not in a good spot for a pause.
Why? Like, literally anything that's proven to us in the first season is that he can wrap things up pretty darn quick. He can wrap up things in like a split second. It's like, oh, here's Doom and Gloom coming to us. Oh no, world's no, resolved. That was the whole joke of the first season.
We'll see. Uma Musume is I never did get back to that one. That's a little bit frustrating. I've been trying to do this Vlad Love one, which I think is an OVA. I'm not real sure what's going on with that. I don't think it's an actual this season. That one is a weird show. It really is.
Yeah.
Wixos, that one, maybe I'll get back to. That one's going to be a maybe.
Where were we at? Totally lost where we were at. Iwa Kakeru Try, new climbing manga, is ending in its sixth volume. It's always kind of technically depressing when you see a announcement for source material ending right after the anime is, because it's like, it kind of makes me wonder if the anime was trying to reboost sales and it didn't work out, so they stopped. Because I think that happened, I think that was the case with the Butt Girls, I remember Keiju. That. It was literally on the back of my tongue. Keiju. That literally happened with that. And it was, and I think they technically came out and said, like, you know, this has nothing to do with it, but it's like, yeah, sure. We'll believe you. But yeah, unfortunate. Hopefully they have a new project coming up. I'm sure they do. Most of those mangakas are doing multiple stuff at the same time anyways, so hopefully whatever else they're doing is working out for them, even though I didn't really get into the show. Sony Interactive Entertainment announced that they will be, that alongside RTS, they have acquired EVO tournament brand, as well as the assets and properties. And yes, this is technically video game and esports related news, but I did want to bring it up because keep in mind that, yes, Sony does own Crunchyroll and Funimation at this point, and now they have a esports entertainment endeavor that they have acquired. So it is kind of leading it more to the idea that we're probably going to have essentially Sony becoming like this gigantic conglomerate of entertainment, video entertainment, probably streaming related stuff in the future, which is kind of, it is troubling. I've seen a couple of videos and stuff pop up that I haven't really found anything to substantiate it, but a lot of people are apparently rumoring that Crunchyroll and Funimation's apps are being shut down in a year, which wouldn't surprise me at all. Like, I think I mentioned when we talked about the buyout that you never see anything come of it early on because, one, they have to get approvals from the government to make sure that they're not, you know, that it's, you know, good business practices, no monopolies being created. But, and my experience with working in a company that had a buyout, it takes a couple of years before they finally do something. Like, right now, Crunchyroll is still buying licenses, technically, because it's still business as usual. There could be a possibility that we find out tomorrow that Sony couldn't do it, and the government said, no, you can't. And guess what? If they stop doing what they're doing, even though we joked about the idea of them not getting licenses, they can shoot themselves in the foot if they don't keep moving as normal. So they kind of have to keep moving as normal, and it won't. We won't see the effects of it for possibly 2 years. But it wouldn't surprise me if that when those years come up, it's finalized that we see at least Crunchyroll, maybe even possibly Funimation, you know, as a brand disappear, and it becomes Sony Anime, which sucks because I hope they don't make you have to use a PlayStation to watch their stuff. It would be nice to have them in one location. I'm not against that because that's, you know, less money people have to pay to watch all the shows, but still. I just want to bring it up just so people are aware of it. Sony still becomes fatter. Sony becomes fatter. That's the news bit. All right. Scarlet Nexus, the video game. The video game is getting an anime by Sunrise in summer 2021. It's funny because I don't think the game's out yet. And they're already, well, it's just to kind of promote the game itself. But yeah, they released a trailer for it. It's a very quick trailer. It looks good. But a very quick trailer. So if you're excited for Scarlet Nexus, check out the anime that they're going to be making for it. Yeah, it's still launching in June 25th. So the anime will come out pretty much right alongside the show itself. So I think the game will come out, and then about a month later, they should have the anime come out. So, because summer is usually July, right?
Yeah.
Anime season anyways. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's in 3 months. So March, April, May, June. July is dead in the middle of summer.
I mean, anime seasons, not necessarily actual seasons. Actually, technically, yeah, we're Japan seasons.
Yeah, we're finishing up the spring season right now. So next month will be the beginning of the next spring.
Yeah, so July. July is when summer anime starts. Let's see, Higurashi When They Cry Ghoul TV anime to get a follow-up series called Sutsu, and it will premiere in July as well. Well, there you go. There's season right there. And that was what I was talking about earlier. It's like, having that kind of announcement, because we weren't really sure if they were going to end up doing like multiple seasons of Higurashi, because technically it's not a remake. It's a, like, yeah, spoilers, but yeah, you'll know if you watch the series, but yeah, it kind of makes me want to wait, but at the same time, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll get some feedback from some people. Let me know if it's got a solid conclusion to it. Because technically, the original series had a conclusion, and the follow-ups were kind of like either a different perspective or something else. So I'll see. I'll see what the feedback is. Let's see, Viz Media confirmed with ANN that they no longer have the license for the manga Chicky Angel, which is kind of interesting. We really love the anime. I kind of wish somebody would license it and release it, but I kind of always, I think I dabbled a couple times in the manga to try to get into it, and I never really kind of committed to it, but I kind of wanted to get into the manga, and if I couldn't get the anime, I might as well get the manga. I think I have it. Honestly, I think I bought it from a bundle. I'll have to double check, but yeah. I actually really like the anime, though.
Yeah, it was a great anime.
Very unique. Bushiroad has been acquired by... Or, sorry. Bushiroad has acquired majority stake of Frontwing. So, for those who don't remember, Frontwing is the one that has the Grisaia series, Island, all those. They have been essentially acquired at this point by Bushy Road, which is a publishing company. So very, very interesting. Very interesting move. I don't know what that necessarily will mean for this series or the for Front Wing as a whole going in the future. But it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see. I am kind of happy with Front Wing recently because they have, you know, after everything that happened with Grisaia, they have kind of been putting up a concerted effort to get their content over here directly. So they're kind of making all the right moves. So I hope that at least my only hope with this whole thing is that Bushy Road acquiring it, they won't mess with that, you know, what they're doing currently that's working for them. I think so. Interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. Suki to Laika to Nosferatu novel is getting a TV adaptation. This one is going to be adapted to release in 2021. And it essentially is space vampires. The story centers around Lev Lip, a backup astronaut candidate, and his new companion, the vampire Inina Ruminescu, as part of the daring new Operation Nosferatu Project Mechtat, will use Irina as a test subject for various conditions expected in space, and ultimately as part of a manned mission with Lev overseeing Irina's training as a cosmonaut. For reasons of their own, both dream of going into space. Space vampires.
She's kind of adorable, so visual. It could be good.
Kind of when I seen the key art for it, I thought it was going to be like some weird, crazy, like Seraph of the End in space. I had Seraph of the End vibes. I wonder if it's similar character artist or something like that. So, yeah, it looks good. PvE looks good. Hopefully, turns out good. Interesting idea for it, though. Netflix has signed a multi-year contract for 3D CG studio Digital Frontier. I don't know if this is necessarily going to affect anime in any way, shape, or form, because they're mostly for CGI effects, not necessarily CGI, full CGI shows. But it is interesting to note. They already helped with the Alice in Borderlands and stuff, so I do want to still check out Alice in Borderland, the live action. But, yeah, Digital Frontier had worked on Alice in Borderland, Death Note, Gantz, Resident Evil, Degeneration, Tekken, Blood Vengeance, Appleseed, and Gantz. So, cool. In our next bit of news, we have the actress that is playing Faye Valentine for the live-action Cowboy Bebop adaptation has posted on Instagram stating that the filming for the series has completed. The first season filming is done. Not that the series is done, because, as we know, especially for something that's going to be like a space thing, is probably going to be quite a few, maybe a year of actually doing the, you know, visual effects and all that kind of stuff, post-production kind of stuff. The filming is kind of the early, quick part, whereas all the other stuff is the time-consuming part. Now, granted, they could do a, you know, really crappy job and not really take much time to put it together. But yeah, doesn't mean that it's done and ready to go. It's just that the filming's done. So we'll see if this fabled live action adaptation of Cowboy Bebop is actually going to happen.
That's so excited, one that, Chris? That's one of those that it's like that. You think back on and you go, it seems like I've watched that, but I don't know, so I'm going to count it as not watched. And it,
what, Cowboy Bebop the anime?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't remember. I don't remember it at all. And so I'm going to count it as not watched. But it seems kind of silly that I've ever not watched this show. So it's one of those that, I know I liked Space Dandy, so, and I hear everybody go nuts about this show, so I'm sure I'll like it. So I tend to count it as on my list of shame of shows that I think I've watched, but I don't know if I've watched. I really need to get back to, or I need to go back and just watch it and get it done and over with. That's like Onizuka. Technically, I'm sure I've watched it at some point. I don't remember it, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I've kind of mentioned before, but Cowboy Bebop is probably the one few anime where it's kind of hard to screw up West. If you can screw up a live action adaptation of Cowboy Bebop, you got something wrong with you, because it literally is a Western anime. Not that it was made in the West, but they made it for the West. It has all the feels of a Western space thing, but with a very anime take on it. So, yeah, don't screw it up. But I'm kind of interested to see it though. I really am. So, I think they did a decent job on the casting and everything. So, we'll see. Even though I don't know who they are, they look good. So, yeah. Oh, and our last bit of news we have, and this is kind of our segment of we're sorry, we're flawed human beings, we missed something. Not really, but technically, whenever we do our previews for the next season, there's always like something that pops up after we record. And sure enough, Thunderbolt Fantasy Season 3 has been announced for coming in spring, so we'll be watching that. Because that's an incredible show. Did you finish the second season?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That are great ending.
I better have. Such otherwise, awesome I ending. Wasn't I wasn't in the room with you.
I don't remember. I think that was one of those ones where I was like, holy crap, the ending Chris watched. No, I think we did watch it together. Yeah, I think we did watch it together. Or maybe we just didn't watch the ending together. I don't know. Anyways. Yeah, looking forward to more of it. Really incredible. Yeah, Thunderbolt Fantasy. Puppets, not anime, but it's still technically anime because it's got, yeah, the creators behind it and Jinro Butchi and all that kind of stuff. So I need to look into that one beforehand, see if Jinro Butchi is still heavily involved or not at this point. I think we were wondering that in the second season. But yeah. That's it for the news. That seems important to us. That should be important to you because it's important to us. It's time to dive into our community and answer some great questions from community members. As always, if you want your question answered on the podcast, you can either go to the forums, meet our great community members, and post it there. You can post it on the contact us button at the talkingspirit.com at the top. You can send it to andrea@talkingspirit.com, like a lot of people seem to be doing lately. Shoot me a tweet, all that kind of stuff. Plenty of ways that you can get a hold of us to ask your question, which reminds me that we had one on Twitter that I don't want to forget, so I'm looking for it right now. It's a question actually aimed at Chris, so I thought it would be fun to actually put on here.
What? People are Twittering me?
Oh, come yeah, there's a WD-40 comment about your chair, Mr. Squeaky Chair Chris. Mm-hmm. Oh, it is a question you technically can't answer. Ved Patel said, I saw the latest episode of Wonder Egg Priority, and I have a question for you guys. If Chris watches this anime, how did he feel about this episode, which he's talking about the recent episode? I won't tell exactly what happens, as he doesn't like dark stuff. And also, why doesn't Chris like shows, like dark shows? Is it because some traumatic event in the military?
No, I'm not that deep.
I was kind of tempted to reply on the Twitter. I'm like, he didn't really technically go to the front lines, so nothing like that. I mean, technically, it could have been happening in boot camp and stuff like that. Some crazy stuff happens there. But
boot camp does get kind of brutal, but not that brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. It could. If somebody accidentally drops something they're not supposed to drop. I don't know.
I like we were talking about earlier, I do intend on catching up. As far as the reason why, it's more along the lines of there's so much crap going on in the world right now. I'm kind of turned off of dark stuff, and that's all. It's that simple. It's nothing any more deeper than that. It's just I don't want negativity in my life right now, and so I'm kind of just trying to steer away from negativity that is voluntarily brought in, for lack of a better term. I don't know
how to better put it. That's like the whole point. Yeah, I mean, that's similar to the whole point of the podcast itself, is that positivity is, as we've mentioned before, it's like we want a place where people can come to and have a positive look on anime because, you know, life is rough times, so you kind of want to have a positive, you want positivity to go into your ears when you break away from, you know, what's going on in the real world and stuff. So I totally understand Chris's viewpoint in that regard, is a desire to have an escape that is positive. But at the same time, I often find myself, even when the show is really dark, for me personally, and this is nothing at Chris, if that is Chris's mindset, and it's perfectly legitimate. For me, it doesn't affect me as much to watch a dark and negative show in the presence of wanting escapism from, you know, things that are negative. Because I don't... It's hard to find a show that is... makes me feel that same feeling. Like, the negativity in the world is often different than possibly negativity in an anime. The only thing that I really felt that was like something that had that similar effect to me that Chris is describing was Code Black. Like, just because it felt depressing. Not necessarily that it was dark or violent, is that it felt depressing. And that's a different feeling than that's violent or that's really screwed up for that character. It felt depressing. I'm sure Higurashi will eventually get that feeling as well if I get back into it.
And I'll probably end up going into that in the review is Code Black is it's interesting to watch it on the fact that it's the body trying desperately to keep itself alive, whereas, and I think I worded it the best in that, because Cells at Work is just reacting to something happening, whereas Code Black is literally desperately fighting to keep the body alive. And that's the difference mm-hmm. between the two shows. That's why it's almost depressing watching it. And to get into what Andrew was saying, I think it's the word is cathartic, where you watch something depressing to realize that, and I hate it because I think it's worded badly, but to realize that your life is not that bad.
Yeah.
So
that's like the other day, something bad happened here, and it was like, well, at least you're not starving in Africa. I mean, not to say that that's funny. It's just a fact that we have it technically damn good.
Yeah. And there is, I know that a lot of people, not that they go out looking for things, it's a subconscious release of you're not going in to watch Higurashi to know that you're not a mass murderer. You're not doing that, but you are watching it, and subconsciously there's something that is kind of an acknowledgement of that something is there to that you do want that. I mean, people don't go watching horror films to because they fantasies. Like. Yeah,
there's somebody.
There's something different about that, and that is, I think, the word for it is cathartic, where you are watching it literally to release that anxiousness in a way. So, and I just I don't need that. I want the positive. For lack of a better word, I don't know how to put it any bit differently than that.
I just thought at some point he got stuck on the idea of wanting to see cute girls all the time and not want to see them hurt. And the obsession drove him to the point where obviously he would not want dark shows. No.
No, I just want no cute positivity. Girls.
Not happy to cute girls. Not watching.
I love my cute girls. Yeah. And I will say that.
But yeah, we'll have to wait until his review to see what he thinks of Wonder Egg Priority, because he's going to watch it. And if he doesn't watch it, I'm shutting down the podcast. So there you go. that we've established that the podcast will be shut down if Chris does not finish Wonder Egg Priority.
There's a Cells at Work live action. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Y'all need to tweet me more.
I think that announced with the anime season's first end, I think. I don't know. But yeah. From our forums, we have Tomboy Hypnosis. Sends us a picture of your listen to two episodes for a total of 141 minutes. Talk doesn't stand a chance.
What?
Hmm. Is that a problem? I don't know what the picture is. I heard of this show in the first place because you were one of the few podcasts on Spotify that mentioned VTubers in a searchable title. The little I've consumed so far has been really enjoyable. I remember back in 2017, people were of the assumptions that VTuber popularity had plateaued and there was little more market share to be had until Cover Corp proved them wrong. In a recent Trash Taste podcast, there was a discussion that to be a weeb is to be normie. Likely thanks to Netflix and overall increase of nerd culture, September 2020 is currently the peak for anime on Google Trends, comparing VTubers and anime. Do you think either medium will soon plateau in popularity or perhaps continue their strong growth? Infinite thanks and best regards, Tomboy Hypnosis. Trademark, registered, copyright. Does that mean me say... Oh, dang it. I went through this with Sony on YouTube, and now I'm going to have to go on the podcast. Because somebody copyrighted something, you cannot say it. You cannot show it. You cannot say it. It is theirs, and you will be struck. How do you get struck on podcasts? I guess they would just take you down the hosting. Dang it. That is a lot of questions in one question. Has VTubers plateaued? No, I don't think so. I think it's something that is... Well, I guess plateaued is a good way of putting it. I guess since you said plateaued... I don't know. I think there is an argument to be made about there is only so much shared time. Because I know a lot of people, especially like when with the English Hololives came out, the big concern there was like, okay, you're literally introducing so many of these girls, and people are only going to watch so many of them. And sure enough, what had happened? Gura took them all. Like, Gura has a massive following. Now, granted, yeah, the other girls do technically still have their viewership, but Gura's the one that took off. And you're always going to have the problem that people only have so much time to watch this stuff. I even have the same problem. I was actually watching them quite a bit when they first released, but then after a while, it's like, this does take a lot of commitment. There's a lot of time and commitment. And so I think you do have a selective audience that's going to be able to fill those. Because I am really curious as to... Because, yes, technically, a lot of the VTubers, Japanese VTubers specifically, a lot of them had viewerships of people in the West. People that didn't even speak Japanese, they were still watching a lot of these VTubers. And I wonder, with the advent of the English VTubers from Hololive, if they lost a lot of that overseas viewership just because of the fact that, oh, now I can watch a Hololive VTuber and understand what they're saying. Because again, and there was times where I'm looking on YouTube and I see, like, you know, I don't know, Pekora is on the same time that Gura is. I wonder if you can't. Yeah, there's a lot of people that are going to sit there and watch both of them at the same time. I don't doubt any way, shape, or form, but like I said, there is a limited time that people do have, and they do technically stream for a long time. So it's just like Twitch. If you have somebody that's on and they are a popular, or they're on and they're not as popular, the moment that the popular one comes on, the viewership goes down because people only want to watch one of them at the same time. So, but as for the popularity stuff, I don't know. I'm not really watching the statistics all that much, so I don't really know. I do know that 2020 was easily going to be a huge boost for them because they we did, again, have the English Hololive launch. We did have several other VTubers launch. And you had a mixture of both just the random Joe Schmo trying to become a VTuber because they lost their jobs or they couldn't go to their jobs at the time because of the pandemic. And you also had a lot of people not able to leave their houses. So obviously it's going to have a boost. So I don't know that you can necessarily take what happened in 2020. That's like everything. Like everything. Like there was a news bit from, I think, Viz or maybe Yen Press stating that 2020 was their best year. And it's like, well, I hope you're not going to take that consideration what's going to happen in the future, because a lot of people were stuck home reading books and they wanted something to do. So you can't, any company right now cannot take 2020 as an example for projections or possible future. Now they can take what happened in 2020 and grab a hold of it and try to advance with it. Like say I used to be a part of the company that was a beverage company. They did see a boost, but they would have to go out and seek out the people that they got that boost from and say, stick with us into the future. It's not always going to happen for every company that way. There is going to be a drop in viewerships on VTubers because people are going back to work this year. You're going to see a drop in manga reading because people possibly go back to work this year. So, yeah, I can't really say that taking 2020 is a good example, but I'm not following the VTuber popularity and viewership well enough to be able to give a good positive perspective on it. But I do see overall VTubers sticking around for a long time. I think when VTubers first hit and a lot of Westerners were trying to capitalizing, I honestly did see VTubers in Japan being a thing forever. Like when the moment that it popped up, I'm like, yeah, this is Japanese. This is going to stick around for a long time. But I did technically poo-poo the idea of it ever being a Western thing. Like, I just didn't really see it getting an audience in the West. But Hololive proved me wrong. They proved me that you can take non-Japanese girls, stick them in front of a camera, and give them an anime avatar, and people will eat it up. And so they proved me wrong in that regard. But the question I really have, how I question how it can go into the future, is would I ever think I'd see a VTuber if I turned on the news and I turned on the weather? I don't think it'll ever go outside the realms of the anime culture. Agree to disagree, Chris.
Yes and no. I think a lot of things are going to change very soon. The problem, because the question that I find the most frustration with in this question, and it's not a bad frustration, it's a frustration as in the question is asking us to kind of predict the future. And for me to give you an honest answer, I have to take into consideration everything that's going on in the world right now. And yes, I believe a lot of crap is going to change very soon. The problem is that if everything was to stay the same as it is right now, would VTubing become even more popular? Not so much. Anime, I believe, at the rate it's going right now, I believe it's shooting into mainstream, and it would have been almost a household discussion at some point. How does that fit into the grand scheme of things? If everything stays the same as it is right now, yes, I believe that eventually we will hit a plateau, and I do not believe that we would have hit a plateau now. As it stands right now, I don't know that it will ever get as popular as it is right now. Like I said, I do believe that things are going to change very soon. And I don't really want to dig into that much more than what we're saying right now.
I'm really curious. I hate to say this, but I almost don't agree with the idea that Netflix is making anime mainstream. I think Netflix is helping soften the blow of the stigma around anime, but I don't think it's making it acceptable. I think the only thing that makes anime acceptable is the audience growing naturally.
That's how
we've gotten where we have gotten now, is having Joe Schmo stumble upon a show, give it a shot, and then he accepts it, and then his kids watch it because dad watched some anime, and now he's watching it. I think it is really just younger audience seeing it on Toonami or whatever, growing up and then having an open mind when they're older. Like that, I think that is the biggest boom that we've had, is growing up in it, and thus as an adult going, I watched it, I don't care.
And that's what I'm implying by it is going to become more and more mainstream over time. If nothing was to change from what we are looking at right now, yes, it would be completely mainstream. Do I believe Netflix is? Yeah, it's a minor addition to it. It's not Netflix that's making it a thing.
Having suddenly out of nowhere Devilman Crybaby pop up on the front page of Netflix when somebody turns it on that doesn't watch anime is not going to suddenly make them go, oh, let me give this a shot. They're still going to see that. And even if they do give that a shot, anime as a whole is difficult for a mainstream to accept because it is so different. It allows things that the Western audience does not want. And that's what keeps it from becoming mainstream. You're never going to have Joe Schmo fire up Crunchyroll and watch Hidden Dungeon when they are not an anime fan. There's only a select few, maybe one, possibly two shows each season that a grander audience would even touch.
Even with the quote unquote turnover rate of the 5-year rule that somebody magically made, that is not enough to turn the tide. The tide is already going. So effectively, even if you have watched anime and then fell away from it, it doesn't matter. You've already accepted anime. So in the future, all the people who are listening now, the people who we've talked to from 5 years ago, all those people have accepted anime. Anime is a thing. That's what we were kind of implying earlier. Netflix didn't change anything. Netflix, at best, all it did was added a little bit of oil to the fire. It's not in the grand scheme of things, it's already a thing. The wave is already crested. Now, that's outside of the world in general. That is just the culture that has shifted as it stands right now. It's already in motion. VTubers is a new thing. Yes, it's actually more a consequence of the culture rather than how do I put this? It's a cultural symptom rather than the culture itself. VTubers is just a branch of the anime culture as a whole. It's already on the way. People are going to be seeing it. And like Andrew was saying, do I see it becoming a part of the Weather Channel? Not necessarily, but they may at some point try to, as a new way of selling the weather, they may try to do a VTuber, but it won't be on mainstream channels. Who knows? Maybe it will at some point. And that's how much I do see things shifting in the future if everything stays as it is now. But I don't believe everything.
Barky's the weather dog.
Yeah,
the weather dog on there.
I don't see things staying the same as they are now. So it doesn't. This is a theoretical future based on what's going on now.
Yeah, and not to discredit Netflix in any way, shape, or form, I think the efforts that, you know, they put into going into Japan, making a Japanese branch, pulling together a bunch of, you know, different studios and, you know, giving them, you know, tons of money to create new content. I can't really, you know, Julian and all those people that were a part of that effort in Japan to make that happen is an amazing feat. And it was a great way to, you know, broaden the market, if anything. Their injection of money, at least money itself, was a positive thing for anime. It allowed a lot of creators to do what they wanted to do. Everything about that is fantastic. It's not to discount what Netflix has done, at least Netflix Japan itself has done, especially also bring it to a worldwide audience. When they first made those efforts, technically there was very few licenses that were going worldwide. Most companies were in, you know, the United States or North America, and they were only licensing it for there. And so nothing was really getting outside of Japan and America's legally. You had to still pirate in a lot of those locations. Whereas what Netflix was doing was saying, we want to make sure that when we make something and it's streaming, no matter where you're at, you can get it. And so I think there's a great, I think if I gave them credit for anything, it's that pushing that agenda that this does not need to be limited to Japan and North America. This needs to be everywhere. And I think that's a huge win for anime in general. But I think that it, as a, you know, being normal or no longer being the weeb thing, it's being accepted across the world, I think that was already happening. And I think that's why Netflix jumped onto it. I think Netflix was jumping on the bandwagon of this is becoming mainstream. Yeah. Let's be a part of it. They didn't necessarily create it. I think it's helping, but yeah, that's my point.
I agree completely. That's just like, even Amazon seen the wins. That's why they tried to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, they were about the same time.
Yeah, they were all trying to do the same thing. Sony, I think, did the biggest power move by trying to buy out they did actually buy out Crunchyroll. That was the biggest power move. Now,
well, it was Funimation technically was a big power move.
Okay. Either way, it'll be interesting to see how Sony decides to play against Netflix, because obviously Amazon dropped out of the race. They had a good solid chance, but they let it go. But that's because they were being foolish in the way that they handled how to handle it, and that was their stupidity.
I've been wanting to do a kind of a postmortem on Amazon, because I really do think it's an interesting perspective of what went wrong. And so I'm probably going to save what I'm going to say next for if we do a podcast on that. So I'll have to make sure I put down notes somewhere. I would love to do a postmortem on Amazon, because I think it is an interesting to look at, to see, you know, what went wrong. What did they do wrong? Because they did put some efforts into it. I mean, they made it an entire social media brand around it. It's just they sucked. But we'll get into it if we make that.
Yeah, I believe their biggest
problem is they sucked at it.
I think that they did some very foolish moves. Is really what it comes down to. We can discuss exactly what those foolish moves were later, but really what it comes down to is they did that, and by doing that, they bowed out very quickly. So now that leaves you with the two sumos in the room. It'll be interesting to see if what's going on with that, what we were talking about with the YouTube channel that's trying to do their own thing, and the Retro. I kind of hope that Retro Crush kind of pulls things together. It would be nice to see somebody else kind of offsetting these two. Netflix, I don't think, is taking it serious yet. They are throwing money around. I don't deny that. But
they're consistent.
But are they being serious about it? I don't know that they've seen enough return to take it serious. That'll be when they start seeing the return. Will they take it serious? Probably, because there is a market here. It's just that they've got to change their moves. They're making some foolish moves as well. If they can find those and suss those out, they will be more than anybody. They will be the juggernaut if they start taking it serious.
Honestly, do think that Netflix is seeing success. I'm gonna say it. I think they are seeing success because, I mean, if anything, they're seeing success in Japan. And that's obviously going to be a huge part of their market, even if their goal, like I said earlier, is to make everything worldwide. They are still seeing a lot of their stuff successful there. And I think that's mainly why we don't see a lot of the shows available worldwide. I think that if they weren't seeing success, they would take people more seriously when they say, we want these shows weekly. And again, I'm acknowledging that there's two different types of shows that hit Netflix. There's the ones that are still technically airing on television in Japan. Those ones are seeing weekly releases in Japan and some other countries. We've seen that with Violet Evergarden. And then there's other shows that are fully made and they're dropped worldwide, full series, you know, like, you know, the Godzilla series, like High Rise Invasion. Those are actually fully produced and dropped, not necessarily television aired. And so, I think that the reason why you can see that they're seeing success is because they still have a lot of those television broadcast stuff they're doing weekly in Japan. And there is a fandom in Japan that is supporting those. But going beyond that, I think there is success in the idea of, like, technically for quite a few years. I mean, you've seen it. What is all the mainstreams covering? What were the Anime Awards judges pushing Netflix shows because they were easy to get a hold of? They were acceptable. they were the normie non-anime fan were okay with the content within them, and so they became super successful. Devilman Crybaby, all those kind of stuff were taking the spotlight in mainstream. None of the shows on Crunchyroll were taking those spotlights because they were too anime. They were on the Crunchyroll app, which is too weeb for them. So it is a struggle in the idea that technically they were seeing success. Now the question is do the non-mainstream caught anime shows like, say, Psyche K, were those seeing success in the West? Or were they only seeing success in Japan? That's where I think is a huge difference there. Devilman Crybaby, huge success everywhere.
Yeah, Psyche to this K, day, not I would really. Love to this day, I would love to be behind the wall and be able to see some of the analytics between Crunchyroll, Funimation, and Netflix and Amazon. To see some of those analytics would be absolutely fantastic. That is got to be some of the most interesting information that you could ever see. To be able to
we were talking about this before, you know, everything went down late last year, my move and everything. We were talking about bringing somebody on here that has insights into Japan Netflix. And I'm wondering if I might ask him again to see if possibly, because I know that a lot of this.
I haven't been able to get him to talk to me since the last time we discussed anything.
Yeah, it's been difficult to get a hold of him. I think he's really tied up with some new projects. But my concern really is, and what will probably keep it from happening, is I think when we get him on, I want him to be able to get on when, because a lot of these companies have disclosure agreements, non-disclosure agreements. And I want to wait until he's allowed to talk about a lot of that stuff. I mean, he's a brilliant guy, and I'd love to talk to him just in general. I mean, we had so many talks with him where we just talked for hours. He's that kind of person. You want to pick his brain.
Yeah.
But there's stuff that I want to talk on the podcast about specifically Netflix and what they did over there. And I kind of don't want it to be the allowed stuff to talk about. I want it to be the stuff that, not that I want him to come on here and trash, you know, and get in and talk about all the secrets and everything, but I just want to get that that cool insight into what happened and how it happened. And did they see that? I think if anybody, he could tell us, and I'd want it to be something that would be talkable on the podcast of that success. I think he would have that insight for sure. So, sorry, teasing something that we possibly might not be able to do.
Yeah.
We'll see, though. Well, like I said, I sometimes those non-disclosures can take several years, and that's the only upset, is that it might not happen, just because I've heard of non-disclosures happening for 10 years. So it really depends on, and if he knows, is gonna, I'm sure he probably knows what that would be. So sorry, tangent, but that'd be a lot of fun. Sorry, I just interrupted you. Did I break your train of thought? Do you remember what you were talking about?
No, I'm good.
Well, all right. Like I said, I kind of was thinking that we were going to get a whole bunch of questions done because we didn't have many news bits, but
I guess derailing the conversation.
Thankfully, I think that's what people would rather have, is us just talking about random stuff in anime and Atelier series. But yes, as always, thank you to all of our listeners for supporting us. Thank you for the great questions that you guys submitted so far. Again, we're a little short on the questions from the forums, but we are technically still getting a lot through our email, which is very much appreciated. And hopefully we can get around to knocking out the rest of these questions here soon. So what do you think about an anime strike post-mortem next week? I wonder if I can put that together. I'm like so into talking about that now. I think that'd be a lot of fun to talk about. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll see. Unless something else comes up, or unless I notice that there's a lot of shows ending this week and that we need to get started, otherwise I'll get backed up. We'll see. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this discussional podcast episode. We talked about the news that seemed important to us, that should be important to you, because it's important to us, it's important to you, and all the great questions from our community members. And as always, if you want to support us, definitely let other people know about us. That's the best way you can support us. Just word of mouth is significant, more significant than you probably imagine. Supporting our YouTube channel, like I said, if you can, take a moment to go check out my review that I did for Oh My Goddess. I think it was really fun and funny. It's an ecchi show, so keep that in mind. There's going to be some ecchi stuff on your screen, so don't do it at work. as always, we thank all of our Patreon supporters. So it means so much to us that you guys would support us financially. And, so we definitely appreciate those that do that. And, yeah, I think that's a wrap. Follow us on Twitter, podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, yeah.
All we're on Spotify stuff. Now.
That's literally what that guy said in his post, was talking about the Spotify app.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry. I've seen Snapchat.
Yeah, that's go back to Snapchat app. He came from Snapchat. That's how phones work, Chris.
Okay.
That's a back button. Cool.
Makes sense to me.
Have you never gone to like a link in Twitter, and then when you go to the link, it has a little Twitter button at the top to go back? I'm making fun of you. I'll stop. I'm making fun of you. I'm sorry.
I try not to. I randomly got a thing that asked me if I wanted to allow somebody from Shanghai to have access to my phone. So I try really hard not
to. You didn't do that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm not in Shanghai, China. I'm going to let y'all know.
What?
I'm probably not there.
Are you not using a VPN through Shanghai?
Might be.
That's probably what happens. You're probably using a VPN going through Shanghai, and then it's thinking that it's there, which you can get a VPN through ExpressVPN. This is an ad. No, I do not endorse VPNs at all. It's not that I'm saying they're bad. I'm just saying I'm not endorsing them. There's things about it I don't trust, but yeah. There you go.
Hey, Thank you guys for listening. I am on the I don't trust nobody side. So I would love a VPN. However, then I would be giving my information to the VPN rather than hiding myself from everybody else. So either way,
I'm in a
catch 22.
I'm saying is that I don't think VPNs do as much as people claim they do. And the ads for it just make it sound like it's doing more than it's actually doing. But that's another conversation. So there you go. Anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and yeah, just stay tuned, especially, like I said, on the YouTube, because I will be to the brink of killing myself making a bunch of reviews and videos for everybody. No, I'm just kidding. I like it. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. So yeah, keep that in mind. I'm probably going to be pumping out a lot of video reviews and stuff. I'm perfectly fine. I'm healthy. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. It seems like a lot, but I've figured out ways to do this that saves a lot of time. I remember somebody was mentioning the idea of, like, can you make the screenshots match what you're talking about? I'm like, yeah, but then I'm going to make less videos. Can we do that? I'm doing it the way I'm doing it because it's easy and it makes the video look good. So, and it flags to Sony Music Japan. Anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and y'all take care. Os.
Evidence-based. I know. You know,